get out the door, but you made it. And that is a beginning of celebration. You got this far already. So well done you for getting here today. Choosing to come together to praise God for the week that we have. To pray to God for the week that we are about to have. And to sit in the presence of God together, united in praise for him. You choose to do this today. So well done for coming together to do that. We're going to look at various different things and have a little think about God and what we're doing and our relationship with him. But first we're going to sing Father God, I Wonder, number 72 in Singing the Faith. You can sit or stand or dance and clap, whatever it is that you feel so led to do. If that's what is bubbling up inside you, then let it out. And if you want to sit and criticize, you can do that too.
Come to God in prayer now. Our prayers of adoration and confession. Father, we come to you at the beginning of this new year, looking back on the old year and looking forward to a new. Some of us look back with joy and happiness and celebration on the last year, but some of us look back with sadness, with grief, feeling low. But we praise you, Lord, that you have been with us every step of the way. You are the one that we can rely on to keep us in the straight and narrow, to keep us comforted and strengthened. You are the one who guides us and leads us. Father, we praise you. And we praise you for the new year. As we look forward, we know that you will be with us every step of the way through that. We could be feeling trepidation. We could be feeling excitement of things to come. Yet we know that you are with us. You will dance along with us along the way. And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Sometimes, God of the present moment, we feel afraid of things that are new. Life changes around us so quickly that we struggle to keep up. Some changes we can see are good, but others leave us longing for the past. We need the help of your Spirit to see where you are in this present age and to direct our footsteps down new paths. God, who makes all things new, we ask that you renew and bless us. We need to be made new, saving God, because your world is weary of old ways, of warfare, injustice, poverty, and selfishness. Paint for us a picture of your new earth so we can recognize your handiwork in the world and support and follow and help those seeking to do new things. God, who makes all things new, renew and bless us. We look for your newness in our lives. We're tired of our failure to love and understand, our failure to make our lives worthy of you. We're tired of the things that hold our loving back, our fear, our ignorance, our lack of vision. We pray for all those whose lives are frustrated by illness, loss, and limitations. God, who makes all things new, renew and bless us. God of this new year, we pray for the days to come. We have heard your offer to make us new if we'll put our trust in the saving love of Jesus. With your help, we'll open our hearts and minds to take into our lives the power of your transforming Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. And now I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which is freely given in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the time reaches their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Amen.
And the gospel reading this morning from John chapter 1, reading the first 18 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Thanks be to God.
Thanks, John. Thank you. They were very meaty verses. There's a lot in there. I don't know how many of you went and did your shopping list halfway through. That happens to me sometimes. It's a genuine thing. It happens. To hold your attention for that long, when it's something so big, can be quite tricky. And this was the thing that I was wrestling with when I was getting ready for today. I was like, there's so much in here. What do I leave in and what do I take out? And what's the most important part and what do we leave behind? Because that's sort of the wrestling that you do as someone that's preparing to share. You're like, God, what is it you want people to know today? And what is it that's affecting me that I think, okay, this is what I'm going to share in response to whatever God is saying to me. Okay, so with that said, I have to say, it wasn't very verbose this time. God, he was a bit on the silent side. So I was struggling. I was really struggling to work out what it was I needed to share with you today. And I realised that actually, the sound bite, if you like, for what we were going to talk about, is that we need to spend time in the Word. Because if we don't, we allow other people or other things to influence our understanding of that. And in doing so, we get a wrong picture or a diluted picture or a prejudiced picture in some way. We're all prejudiced, by the way. That's not like an exclusive thing. We all see things through our own filters, and that's how we pass them on and see them through the world. So that's basically what I came down to. I don't really have a sermon based on the content of the what we've just read, other than their profound pieces of writing, and which we can hang our heart on for our faith. But that's about all I can say about them, because they're too huge to try and condense down into a 10-minute conversation or lecture or whatever you want to call it. And by doing that, actually what I'll do is dumb it down and destroy what it's truly about. It needs space. It needs time. It needs to be ruminated on. It needs to be sat in. You need a good brew and sit down with these texts, because they're really fundamentally important to who we are and how we see ourselves in Christ. So I stand here today encouraging you to go off and do that. So I was sitting, I was reading it in, was reading the Hebrew, and I'm looking at it, and I'm going, how am I going to explain the word was, the word is, the word will be, and all of that, and how does that translate and make sense to us today. I think it's hugely personal. It's one that you need to sit with and work out for yourself. We come to church, I think, sometimes expecting to be handed a nice little packaged soundbite or tweet that we can carry off with us for the week and be like, oh, that was lovely. That was brilliant. Yeah, nice. But we don't necessarily put the work in. And I think that's something, the Methodist Church was something that they could be proud of at one point, that actually their midweek stuff, the getting in and rummaging around inside Scripture and wrestling with it and bouncing off one another, being like, I think this about this particular piece of thing. And someone else goes, really? I saw it from this side. I'm like, ooh, you know, and I'm like, oh, do I agree? Do I not agree? You know, that was something that the Methodist Church did really well. And something I think we don't do really well anymore. We don't meet together to wrestle with Scripture, to understand God, to challenge ourselves to do that. I don't think we do it as, I mean, in going back historically, how much they did it then and how much we do it now. I don't think we do that. We've kind of shelved the Bible. And that's sort of what I'm getting at today, is that actually, Bible is important to us learning about who God is and who we are in Christ. And it's a useful tool in which to understand that. And if you call yourself a Christian, well, it makes sense that you would use that text to understand God. It's not that hard. you don't have to learn Greek and Hebrew. You know, you don't have to have lofty thoughts and degrees and all of that kind of stuff. Some people feel that you need to, that they're not qualified to read the Bible. And I just want to say that that's not true. You know, I don't have special powers or skills when it comes to that stuff. In actual fact, I've got some stuff that kind of holds me back a little bit. But my desire to get to know God more and my desire to get to know myself in Christ more leads me down that road and leads me to inquiry. And the reason why I say it's really important for us to do this is, who are these guys that we've got down the front? I'm going to lift them up just for those in the back. So we have, I've only got two hands, sorry, three characters. And this one. So who are these guys that we've got today on the wise men? Right, it's Epiphany Day. It's not Epiphany Sunday. It's Epiphany on the 6th. Does anybody know? What do you know? Does anybody know the names of these guys? Casper, yeah. It's actually not their names. That was just a song somebody made up. And scripturally speaking, they don't have names. How many of them are there in Scripture? Anybody know? Good, you're on to me now. Yep. So they aren't, but everybody typically says there's three because there's three gifts. So this is the reason why I'm saying we need to get into this a little bit more, because there's some stuff that is here about what we think we know because we do our nativities every year and we have our Christmas cards and we, you know, we're Christians, we're into the Christmas thing. We totally are, you know, because it's really, really important and an amazing miracle thing that happened there, that God chose to come and walk among us because he wanted to get that close because he wasn't close enough. And he wanted to let us know that he's that close, that he's not over there in this special place in a box, covered by a room, covered by a room, covered by a room, and only certain people can get into those rooms. He said, no, I'm here. I'm here in you. And that's why he sent Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that that's true for us today. But we miss things in the story. So we think these dudes, and they were only dudes, came with these gifts to give to Jesus. And we think, what age was Jesus when he turned up? Where's me Jesus? He's there somewhere. So, never mind. So, what age was Jesus in our heads? Thanks. Oh. What age is Jesus in our heads when these magi turned up? Two. Anybody else? Higher or lower? I mean, be honest. Say again? Higher. You think older again? So, as I was, thanks very, oh, I didn't hear somebody said something. Younger, you think like babe in arms type size? That would be the typical image of what people would have for Jesus and the Magi, because our nativity has these guys hanging around a stable, right? Because let's, you know, we read it, we read the story, and we read it in one little go, in whatever, let's say it takes half an hour to read the story. So we're like, oh, it all kind of bundles in. And this is the thing about scripture, we miss massive amounts of it, and most of the stuff we miss is time. The time it takes to get from one place to the other, the time it takes for a thing to happen. And so with the Magi have turned up to find this miracle that they're in search of, right? They're looking for this thing. They're looking for this game changer. They're looking for the Messiah of the Jews, right? That's what they're looking for. They're not looking for the Chinese king of something. You know, not an address, but they have like a clear idea of who it is they're looking for in that sense. That's a very bad example. Okay, but they have an idea in their heads. They're going, we're looking for this king of the Jews, so we're going looking for him. And so off they go, having this. But they're not Jewish. And they're not all from the same town. They come from different places. This says that Christ is bigger than Christianity. Sit with that for a minute. Christ is bigger than Christianity. Okay? It's not mutually exclusive to us. God's reaching out to everyone. And he's saying, come and follow me. Now, you may use different words for that. The Magi are definitely not Jewish. They're definitely not Jewish. And they're not all from the same place. But they're coming looking for him, because they know he's important. Now, I don't know about you, but that makes me go, well, why? And where does that go? And think of all the holy wars we've had about our side and your side. The Magi stick a pin in that somewhat, because God's talking to them too and drawn them in too. So he's saying something to them as well. That's interesting, I think. Also in our Magi story, when they go and chat with Jesus, or they go and find Jesus, the Hebrew, going back to the original text, the word was for not infant, it was for child, who said older. So child could be anything from something that a person that can toddle once they're on their own feet, up to a 13-year-old. Because when you became 13, you became an adult. They didn't have teenagers and tweenies and all of those things. They didn't have that. So you were an infant, a child, an adult. There wasn't, you know, all our different divisions that we have. So that means that Jesus was probably walking and talking at that point. So it didn't happen. So there's a huge span of time that's taken place there. Do you see? But they found them in Bethlehem. So they didn't just do what we do when we go on holiday, rock up for 2 weeks, do what we need to do, relax real quick, and then go back to life in general. They were there for ages. They had to have been there for a long time. We don't see that in the story when we do a nativity play. But you can if you sit with the words and have a ruminate around with them and sit and think about it. Because then there's this revelation. There's something new. We get tired of the story. Someone says, oh, why do we do this over and over again? I was like, because it's amazing. There's always something else there. It takes effort. It takes involvement. It takes our participation in that. But I've never sat down to the Bible and not had something to share as a result of that. Something I've newly learned or seen to share out of that. And that's what I'm bringing with you today. Have a go. Have a read. Sit around. It might even be that you open it and go, this is absolute gobbledygook. Brilliant. Go find someone and be like, is this gobbledygook to you? And have a conversation about it. Grow in God. Our participation in our relationships is paramount. And out of that comes our service. So that's basically all I want to share with you today. It was a lot, even though I didn't have much to say. Okay. So just want you to sit with that. Try take these verses that we've just read. Even if you read the John 1:1-18, it's profound. It is profound. And that is the God that you're in relationship with. He's not small. He does have power. He is in control. She is in control. However it sits with you. You're part of something big and miraculous and amazing. And sometimes it doesn't feel like that. Sometimes it feels pretty shit. Sorry for the language. But it does. We've our friends that die. We've tragedy that happens in our lives. And it feels like God is far away. They're not. You're just having a hard time that day. And that's okay. And it's all right to feel that way. But remember, you are part of something much bigger and much more powerful. And sometimes we give them credit for. I'll stop there. Let's just sit in silence and just think about all of what we've just talked about and all of what we've just heard. And just allow God to speak to us. We'll give it about a minute. So just let's sit in silence with God for a moment. Majestic Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that you hear the said, the unsaid, the felt, the unfelt. You know us in a deep way. You know us better than we know ourselves and love us completely. For this, we give you great praise and thanks. With this, we shine brightly in our week as we carry forward the joy of being in relationship with you, the freedom of being in relationship with you. Help us and draw us close to you. Give us a hunger and a thirst to get to know you more. But all of this we give to you. Amen. We're about to sing 683 in Singing the Praise, but it's a tune we're not familiar with, so Ron's going to play it out for us. And then we'll sing. Is that right? Wait, did I do that right? Got it.
Listen to it.
So you'll sing it right, or you can leave. Okay, cool. Go for it.
Thank you.
Great is our redeeming Lord in power, truth, and grace. Him by his highest heaven adored, his church on earth shall praise. We are the things that praise the Lord. We are the things that spread out the truth and love of who Christ is. Sometimes we fail to do that because of our self and our selfishness. Maybe we're tired. Maybe we're just a little bit spent. And so we act in our humanness instead of in the grace of Christ. And so for this, we say sorry to God and to our fellow humans. For when we cross one another in our smallness, we need to get humble in Christ and say sorry for that. This is a new year. It's a new day. So we start anew, refreshed in Christ. And if there are things we need to say sorry for yesterday, let's have the strength to do that. And if we need the strength, let us rely on Christ for that. Let's pray. For our brothers and sisters, we've had some sorrow in the last couple of days and weeks. Sylvia Williams has passed away, and so we pray for her family as they mourn her loss. Ken Lomas, who is in hospital at the moment, has also contracted COVID on top of that. So we keep him and his family, and especially the NHS staff that are looking after him, in our prayers. And we pray for Pat Casey, who died tragically over the Christmas holidays. We pray and celebrate the life that she lived and the gifts that she gave. She used to help out in Messy Church and was a great help there. She touched a lot of lives with her generosity and kindness. We pray especially for Michelle and Melanie, her daughters, who are not frequenters of the church. So while we hold them in prayer, actually, if you know them, reach out to them and let them know that they're loved and cared for, and bless them in that way. So we keep them in our prayers today as well. For anybody else that we know is suffering with a health issue or a mental health issue, or is facing surgery, or is in hospital or is in care in some way, just take a moment to lift those names to God. We pray too for our neighbourhood and all that's been going on around us this Christmas time, the seen and the unseen. We pray for those who are struggling in their lack and want, the frustration they feel, the little that they feel in themselves. Lord, we just pray that if we ever have an opportunity to shine light, encouragement, support, in anyone's direction, that we take the opportunity without judgment or condemnation. We do this in the hope that we bring the light of Christ into the world just a little bit more. We pray for our nation and the chaos that it seems to be in. There's not much I can say. Lord, we just pray that you have your way, that we recognize that you are bigger. Help us to stand and use our voices to right wrongs, to correct injustice, and to use the system to help fix the system. And we pray for our world. COVID chaos continues to grip people, and we just pray that you, God, can be in the midst of all of that, steadying hearts, helping people to realize that they can be strong in you even if the world is tumultuous around them. There is hope. There is a way forward. Help us to find it. Take another moment for anything that is on your heart that you want to give to God, that you want to lay at his cross and just say, have it, take it. So we'll have a moment's silence for you to do that. For it's in Christ alone our hope is found. His light, his strength, and his is our song. This is our cornerstone and our solid ground. Amen. So let's sing, as all good Methodists do, from the bottom of your toes to the top of your head. Praise God for the gift of life that we have, and the opportunity we have to go out and share the light of Christ to everyone around us. So let's stand to sing.
Yes, stand to sing. In Christ alone, my hope is found. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This corner.
Gravy rose again, and as he's done.
Here I stand till he calls me home or he returns. How brilliant is that? So in Christ I stand. In Christ you stand. So stand tall. Shine bright as beacons of hope and love, compassion and generosity to the world around us. Yes, sometimes we drop the ball, but we are part of something huge and gracious and loving that loves every part of who we are, even the shady bits. You're that precious and that important. Carry that truth to your week and everyone you come in contact with. Bless them with that truth too. You do it with a smile. You do it with a handshake, COVID permitting, all the rest of it. But you share the love of Christ with everybody around you. That's what you're called to do. If we need help to remember that, open your Bible, talk to a friend, pray together. You can do this. It's a new year. It's a new start. Go be your brilliant self to the world around you. Amen.